This is The Listening Well. Thanks for being here with us. I'm Shirley Jihad, and we're sharing stories that straddle time. Each of these stories crosses a line from before pandemic to after. This is living and grieving in a time of COVID-19. The experience of the arts, even online, has been like oxygen for a lot of people locked in at home. Just before the pandemic hit, one innovative performance group was pushing the boundaries, bringing the experience of live, in-person theater to a whole new level. They used an ethereal outdoor performance to breathe new life into a buried history. That is, until the pandemic upstaged, uprooted, and shut down the whole thing. Victoria Alejandro tracks the impermanence of the theatrical run that started off deliberately grounded on a particular soil.
This is the opening soundscape of Sweetland, an experimental opera that played in Los Angeles. It closed suddenly due to the pandemic. Sweetland was co-directed by Yuval Sharon and Shanupa Hanksaluger. The opera doesn't sound like Mozart or Puccini, and it didn't take place on a proscenium stage.
Like, if this kind of story was told in the frame of a traditional opera house, I question how effective it would be.
And this is director Yuval Sharon.
And so we just thought, actually, based on the history of this park, based on everything that this park represents, and based on all of the layers in this land, it just seemed like the perfect dialogue partner for the piece.
Sweetland took place in L.A. State Historic Park, one of the only open green spaces in downtown Los Angeles. Place and land are crucial to Sweetland's story. It's an opera about colonization and displacement, as director Hanksaluger puts it.
One of the stories that is rarely told, and we live in the wake of that lack of telling that story, is all of the displacement of the people who are a part of that frontier, kind of like colonial homesteading narrative.
So let's talk about LA State Historic Park. When you're walking around the park on any given day, there are these numbered plaques scattered around. They're kind of easy to miss. Some of them are almost completely camouflaged by nearby plants. And the plaques are part of an audio tour of the park that was recorded in 2018.
To hear the introduction to this tour, keep listening. To skip to the sign you're in front of, dial the number in the top left corner of the sign at any time.
Each plaque has a bit of history about the park, and then there's a phone number you can call. Here, I'm calling about a plaque titled, "A Lot of People Have Called This Place Home." It has a quick illustrated timeline on it going back to the 1500s. It says, "Call to hear who was here before, and before that, and before that."
And here, in the river's floodplain, is a likely site of Yang Na, the largest of the 100 indigenous villages in the region that existed before colonization.
After that, it also became the growing fields for Spanish conquest up in this region. This is a floodplain, and so water racing down through this area always made this place significant. And then it was utilized from every culture that came into this landscape. You know, this was a Tongva village, so there are archaeological remains and bits all throughout underneath this. But there's just layers and layers of history right underneath our feet right now.
Sweetland is a multi-sensory, immersive experience. The show follows two different storylines, which are performed simultaneously in two different theaters. After the opening scene, audiences are split up into two groups. Each group sees a different performance, and it's impossible to see the entire show in one night. That structure creates a sense of displacement and missing out, which is exactly what the directors were going for.
And to displace the audience and separate them from one another, I think reinforces the some of the ideas that have been swept under the rug. You know, it was ugly, and it was hard, and it was difficult, and people were torn apart from one another.
At the halfway point of the show, the audience comes back together under the night sky, stars above their heads. The audience can explore the space, walk between the actors, turn and look at the Gold Line train that runs along the park's edge, or get closer to a wall of mist and projections. One of the composers, Raven Chacon, explains that this exploration is a key part of the show.
You are reminded constantly that what you're seeing is taking place in real time, that you are involved in this, the narrative. This is something that's a contemporary topic, not just limited to the historical world. Instead of it just being a gimmick, we're going to go walk from here to there, displace you. It's actually to remind you that the ground exists, the dirt, the animals. We heard bats last night.
Both sections of the opera begin by introducing audiences to this world's indigenous people and the arrivals who will take over their land. When audiences return to their two separate groups after the outdoor section, they'll see what happens when colonizers try to erase history.
And then you come back and you see the whitewashed version of what you had previously seen. So the more intimate and maybe more natural feeling, you'll come back in and it'll be clinical and white and bright. And in both cases, there's a character that remembers what happened in the first version.
Only a singular voice remembers what happened to their people. Everyone else has been silenced and erased. The two halves of the audience reunite at the opera's end. The opera ends on a scene in a makeshift graveyard. Unseen women sing as a child digs. This time, he's the one tasked with remembering. The lyrics are projected onto the cityscape of downtown LA. The words scroll along the back of a billboard, the side of a bridge, and a discarded sheet of wood. The women's voices reference acts of racism and displacement that have happened across decades, centuries here in what is now Los Angeles. It's a long, bloody history of violence and marginalization.
Across from Union Station is the site of the Chinese massacre. In 1871, 19 Chinese men were lynched by a mob of around 500 white men. To the left of that tower is Chavez Ravine, where in 1959, dozens of Latino families were forcibly evicted to make way for a public housing development that never got built.
What was sacrificed in order to have all of that privilege?
Yeah.
And then moreover, remembering that privilege isn't what you have, but what you haven't had to endure.
In the opera, it's clear that Sweetland is the name given to this place by the colonizer figures. They take over the land, rename it, decide it's their own, and that it's been theirs the whole time. It's also a reference to the traditional patriotic song, My Country Tis of Thee. You know, my country tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. As the opera ends, one voice sings out, repeating, no sweet land here. The people who have come before us remember what happened, what was taken from them, what they lost.
What do you see? What's left? What can you imagine losing?
When I drive back to LA State Historic Park one afternoon after Sweetland's abrupt closure, I see fewer cars on the road. LA is under stay-at-home orders because of the pandemic. So when I do see people, they're social distancing, standing 6 feet apart on the sidewalk. There are people wearing medical face masks. While stopped at an intersection, I see a man cross the street in front of my car. He's clutching a 4-pack of toilet paper, his eyes darting around behind his glasses, as if he's waiting for someone to run up and snatch it out of his hands. When I reach the park, I see gates locking the parking lots. I don't get out of my car, but I see the 3 skeletal structures where Sweetland took place. Sweetland, the opera about displacement, was itself displaced. No sweet land. But Sweetland was performed one final time for an audience of cameras. That filmed version is now available online for $15, which is almost $100 cheaper than a ticket to the live performance would have been. You can now watch both halves of the show in one sitting from your home. So the opera will now be accessible to more people, though the experience won't be the same as standing on the land itself, watching the story unfold.
But we're human beings, you know? At some point, we all worshiped the earth, like everyone, you know? At some point in history, we all belong to a place.
The earth is layered with history. The performances of Sweetland and the history of this pandemic live here now too. Remember what happened, who was here before you. What else might we lose? What else might come next? From Los Angeles, I'm Victoria Alejandro.
This is The Listening Well, Living and Grieving in a Time of COVID-19. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any upcoming episodes. Thanks to our editors from PRX, Genevieve Sponsler and John Barth, and big thanks to Sandy Tolan. Our producers are Rebecca Katz, Nancy Guan, Evan Jacoby, and Isaiah Murtaugh. The executive producer is me, Shirley Jihad. This show was made possible thanks to the USC Annenberg School for Communication and Journalism and by PRX, the Public Radio Exchange. Thanks for listening.